In the studio with me today, we've actually got John Bradler. Morning, John.
Good morning to you. How are you doing?
I'm more all right. But what about for you? You brought me some chocolates. Not, is this
Turkish right? Delight. I just thought you'd like some. Not that I'm suggesting you're Turkish or you're a delight.
No, I could be both. Who knows?
Yes. Yeah.
Who knows?
Because they don't. I was looking around and I didn't find a box that said Grumpy Old Gert.
Fair dues. No, I am. Embrace what you are, sort of always said. Now, John, I'm glad you're coming today because you're a man in the know of all the art world because you run the Brandler Galleries, or own the Brandler Galleries, I should say.
Same difference.
I want to know, what do you think makes a good photograph from a bad, a painting, a good painting or a sketch from a bad painting or a sketch?
Individuality. What I would say is whether it's your child doing something that you're going to put on the fridge,
right?
Whether it's something that you're going to go and see in a Tate gallery or in my gallery, it doesn't matter. It's what I want is that you walk in, whether you like it or not is irrelevant,
because
it's a personal thing.
Yeah, yeah, personal.
But I want it to have a reaction. I want you to be able to look at it and say, that is a Hockney, that is a Picasso, that is a Rembrandt.
Just by immediately seeing it.
That is a George when he was six. The signature is the painting. And people who get caught with forgeries tend to buy the signature, not the painting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've bought myself a David Hockney. I've bought myself a Rembrandt. I've bought myself a Damien Hirst or a Banksy or a Tracy Emin. No, I've bought myself a nice picture.
Yeah.
It happens to be by X. Now, there's a room in the Tate Gallery, what I call the real Tate, not Tate Modern.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a room in the Tate Gallery of Mark Rothko,
yeah,
who does big, predominantly orangey red backgrounds, huge pictures, one colour background, and then round it there will be a band of brown or black or yellow or something. But that's it. That's all he does, right? No composition, no detail, no exquisite painting. I don't like them. I think they're rubbish. To go out and buy one is 10, 20, 50 million pounds.
My word.
But they are distinctive.
Yeah.
If you see a television set and somebody's painted one, it doesn't look right. You can see that it's a copy. You can see that it's a reproduction. And what I find amazing, even with Jackson Pollock, who is right on the edge of my spectrum on what ought to go in a black plastic bag, to put it politely, or flush down the toilet, to put it really.
If you can get it out of the toilet.
I'm getting to what I want to say, but I'm not going to say it on air, you know.
Yeah.
But even with Jackson Pollock, you can spot a fake.
Yeah.
You can, because then there's somebody stressing and somebody contriving to make it look like something. When Jackson Pollock did, he just threw the paint on. There was no constraint. There was no, I must make it look like this, because it's never been made before.
Yeah.
Whereas, so whether it's a photograph that's genuine.
Yeah. We were just talking about that, weren't we?
So you get fake Victorian photographs, but not many, because they're very hard to fake because of the paper and everything else. You get reprints, different thing. I am just thinking about putting my toe in the water when it comes to collecting some photographs, because there are some amazing photographers out there who do sign their editions.
Yeah.
They're world famous and they're not expensive. I think that will change because of digital photography. I think that people don't put the details of what they, when they take a photograph. So much history is lost.
It is.
Important history, but also family history.
Yeah.
And
because you always used to write on the back of the photo, didn't you?
And please, if you do print off photographs, write on the back in pencil. Biro smudges and fades. Most inks will fade with time, but a pencil won't, because it's basically graphite sitting on the paper, whereas inks go into the paper.
Right.
So, but put the details on the back.
Uncle Sid, 1963.
We had the most amazing group of photographs brought into us, family. Most of them were very ordinary, but one of them was an amazing photograph of, it was as if Alice in Wonderland had landed on my desk, and it was a family group, 1870s, 1880s, maybe 1890s, in front of what's called a shiplap, where the wood overlaps, cottage.
Yeah.
roses over the door, little girls dressed up in beautiful little frilly dresses, all the rest of it, little boy with a hoop and a... I mean, it was so staged, fine, but it was an amazing family group. But they didn't have a single name of the people in the photograph.
Didn't know who was in it.
They didn't know the year. They didn't know where it was. And they even the cottage, there was no name on the cottage. But they knew it was family.
Yeah. See, that's a shame because you've lost all that. Yeah, totally lost now.
It's all gone.
Yeah.
And it is so simple. You know, Maud, Mavis and Doris at the end of Southend Pier, 1937, windy day. Bang, you've got it all.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But you do lose that, don't you, with digital?
You're so easily lost.
My wife is quite good at this. She scans in everything, but she labels it with all that information that
okay.
you just said.
Now, so in 10, 20, 50, 100 years' time, like, I mean, in my generation, I'm almost 65. In my generation, every family had one of these leatherette suitcases
yeah.
or attaché cases things full of old family photographs.
Yeah, yeah.
Some were labelled, some weren't. Fine. Family albums, same thing, right? Unless the photographs fall out of the album because people wrote on the albums. Who's going to find a memory card in your attic in 50 years' time?
Well, if they do,
there's going to be no technology to deal with it.
No, you won't be able to read it.
You're going to have to rely on your offspring knowing where to look on the cloud. Now, we're assuming the cloud's going to be around in 50 or 100 years' time.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
There'll be clouds, but not the cloud.
Right?
Yeah.
Knowing where to find it, being able to access it, because the data security has never got less. So data security has always got more and more barriers to people breaking into it. So even your grandson... it's generations reckoned to be 30 years. So your grandson or your great-grandson, let's say 90 years' time, won't have the legal right to access that file.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because nobody else in the world will have access to it.
Yeah.
It's got to be you.
It'll be locked.
But you've been dead for 100 years,
yeah.
or 60 years.
It's locked and gone. Yeah.
It's locked and gone.
Yeah.
So although your wife's labelling everything, is she creating a file somewhere on paper that future generations can go, oh, there's a file on a system. Well, yeah, but hang on a minute. 100 years ago, nobody knew what digital was.
Yeah,
in fact,
yeah.
I still don't. But which is another problem in my life. But that's another conversation. With the technology moving as fast as it is, I mean, you know, nobody buys a phone as a telephone anymore.
It's awesome, isn't it?
It's all
torch, camera, everything.
I was looking for the torch the other day. I couldn't find it. You know. I must have dropped off the back. But the rubber band broke and it dropped off the back.
Yeah.
But I know it's there somewhere. But the technology is moving so fast, somebody born in 10 or 20 years' time won't even think that we used these antiquated systems, which you and I today think are amazing.
Well, it shows you how fast it's actually moving. I spoke to a photographer 15 years ago. It might be 20 years ago. And I said, what do you think about, because he still had the old...
camera.
A real camera. So I said, what do you think about these things? No. They'll never catch on because you can't get the image quality. This was back when it was just 3 megapixels.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
Can't get the image quality. He said, you'll never
What's
get the
a
same
megapixel?
Quality. A mega, yeah, that's right, million. That means
okay,
3 million pixels in the picture. He said... you'll never get the quality in me. You can't beat a real photograph. And I agree with him. You can't beat a real photograph because you lose that shaping, to be honest with you. Whereas years ago, a photographer used to stage the picture properly
and take it now.
They are now 3D cameras. Now they do a dozen photographs and pick the best one.
Yes.
They lose that shaping. They lose that framing that he used to do.
They lose the concentration. But I was given a phone, which I must admit, I don't know where I put, but I was given a phone recently by the manufacturers. Am I allowed to say the name of the phone?
But
it's a company called Rocket, R-O-K-I-T.
Right.
And this guy came in, and he came to buy some pictures, as it happens, and he looked at his phone, and I said, we were talking to him about it. And the phone is 3D.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you watch a film on it, it's in 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
And the characters come out of the screen towards you.
Yeah, yeah. Clever, isn't it? It is very clever. I've got a 3D TV at doors, and you can turn normal two-dimensional images into three-dimensional.
Yeah.
You have to wear the glasses.
No. The point is, you don't need to move the glasses. You don't need to move the glasses, put on the glasses. It is an ordinary phone.
Very clever.
Ordinary glasses, in my case, right? You don't need to put on anything. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that somebody that's born today or yesterday or tomorrow will be used to that technology and won't know to look on the cloud.
Yeah.
Won't know to think that these things are there. So, you know, bit of a plug for getting things printed off. But if you've got a photograph and you really like it, print it off, write on the back in pencil and shove it in a drawer. I'm not saying you've got to put it on your wall and live with it 24/7, but keep it, because there are some photographs that you really do not want to lose. There are some photographs. There was a thing a few years ago where one of the Olympic athletes had all of her photographs on her computer and left the computer on a bus.
No.
All.
Didn't back it up?
The birth of her children, her winning things.
Oh, my word.
Her losing things as well. But, you know, everything, right? Even if you do a backup, we are so trusting in the technology giants that say, back it up on the cloud. But that one photograph, you know, the birth of your first child, you getting your degree photograph, that there are things in life that you just do not want to lose, print them off, because something can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can lose this data. You know, there are all sorts of systems, but there are only all sorts of systems because it happens.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got something that's precious to you, you know. If it's a passport, you put it in a fireproof box. If it's your will, you give it to a solicitor to put in a fireproof box.
Yeah.
But we're trusting our most intimate memories.
And they are very intimate, these photographs. They're very personal. Very, very personal.
We're trusting our most intimate memories to something that actually doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's on the cloud, and it can be altered. It can be accessed. It can be erased. So if you say, I'm Joe Bloggs, and you upset the wrong people, they can erase your photographs. And there is no way of retrieving them. You know, personally, I'm concerned about these things that sit in your room and listen to you 24/7.
I won't have them in the house.
All right. But now they're building TVs with them in.
Yeah.
They're building. And what else aren't they telling us?
Piece of tape over the camera, over the earpiece.
Right. But people don't bother.
Yeah.
So the point is, we have, in England or the United Kingdom, we have a benign government.
Mm.
For how long? What guarantees are there? I mean, you know, so if you had a government that was less benign, and the beauty of it is, for, let's call it a corrupt government, right, or a dictatorship government, right?
Which I mean, there are obviously...
There are many in the world.
There are many in the world.
So it does happen.
We're okay here, but we've got many
today,
in the world.
Right? There are many in the world, and nobody thought it was going to happen to them. It's like a lot of things. You know, it'll never happen to me, right? You're actually paying to be snooped on.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I find that,
it's a bit strange, isn't it?
It makes 1984 look like noddy.
Are you allowed to discuss
noddy these days? You know, I hope so, because I've got the artwork for it, you know. But funnily enough, noddy's gone out of fashion, where Thomas the Tank Engine is in fashion. It's one of those funny things. But I've got the artwork for these things, so I'm biased on what I'm saying. But the technology is there to monitor us 24/7.
Yeah, I won't have any answer.
I saw a wonderful program about China the other day, and outside everybody's front door in China, there was a camera, and it monitors.
Really?
It monitors who goes in your door and when. So if all week you go to, every month, you go, for the whole month, you go to work at 7:52 to cut the 8 o'clock train from the station, and one week you don't, or one day you don't, somebody will ask you why.
That's ridiculous. I couldn't be having all that.
Well, if you're told that is the norm,
you just follow suit, I suppose.
You follow suit. And, of course, bearing in mind you're told by the state that this is the norm, if you query the state, you must be mental.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they tell you, if you query the state and you're mental, there's something wrong. We'll put you in a retraining centre.
Yeah.
So if you know that the cost of asking the question is to be put into a retraining centre, you must be mad to ask the question
yeah.
because you know the consequences. So you need to go into a retraining centre to be...
retrained. John, as always, absolutely fantastic conversation
not
with you this
hard,
morning.
But you got the idea.
We get the idea totally. And we'll see you... Oh, it's the last time I'll see you before Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, you have a fantastic Christmas.
It's going to be the last time you have to listen to me before Christmas as well. He's a lucky lad.
You have a fantastic Christmas, a wonderful New Year, and we'll see you again.
Oh, listen, I must tell you. I know it's cutting into somebody's time, but you must tell you. Go and have a look at the display that the Rotary have done in the Bay Tree Centre. We sponsored three of the trees to be decorated by local school children, and they are stunning. They should be in the National Gallery or the Tate Gallery. They are amazing what the children have done.
Oh,
the
fantastic.
Endeavour School's done one.
Yeah.
Hogarth School's done one. And yeah. I can't remember off the top of my head. I stayed up till 3 o'clock this morning, so I can't remember the other school.
Yeah.
But they are beautiful. They are amazing. And it is where art should be in the community. Making the whole community a better place to be.
And they're in the Bay Tree Centre.
And they're in the Bay Tree Centre.
John, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank
you for
my extension.
We'll speak to you soon.